Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. You know, for some reason, this smartphone or these smartphones, they have a mind of their own. The new goes on what it wants without me even touching it. So we do apologize for that. But we do thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We're an interactive Bible study, and what does that mean? That means that we interact with you. Amen. You can call in at 347-237-4054, and you can participate in the discussion. Amen. For those of you that's listening by internet, if you'd like to call in and participate, the number is 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you would be connected to the lines and you would be able to participate in the discussion. Amen. We're going to move on. We're going to have prayer. And then after we have prayer, we're going to move into our topic and our scripture. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for who you are, the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and you are the end. And we thank you for being able to call you our Father, Abba Father. We thank you for loving us first, Heavenly Father, even when we didn't even know that we needed love. We pray for the sick and afflicted, Father. There are those that ask for prayer. Pastor Paul Robinson, Minister Bill Robinson, Sister Tanette Dickinson, Brother Stuart Hawthorne, and there are others, Father, that stand in the need of prayer. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would meet them where they are, Father, that you would meet their needs, Heavenly Father, that they would hear a call, they would hear an answer, that they would hear a response from you, because you're that type of God. And Lord Father, we don't take anything for granted, because any day it could be one of us. So we pray for those that stand in the need of prayer. And Lord Father, if there are those out there who are listening who are not able to voice those that they have on their heart, we pray for them as well. Lord Father, let us be all on one accord. Let us be a blessed people, Father, a peculiar people, Father. A people, Father, that's not afraid to pray and that's not afraid to believe and have faith that you are God who's able to turn things around. You say that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. We've seen your evidence, Father, time and time again. And we continue, Father, soliciting our prayers, asking that you bless those that we name and those that we don't name. We ask that you would bless this radio blog, Father, that as we speak of your word, Father, that it would be a blessing to someone's heart. We ask, Father, Lord, that you would just guide our tongues, guide our minds, and let us all be on one accord, and we'll be sure to give you the praise, because you're truly worthy of it all. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, and we submit our prayers and our requests. Amen. Our topic this evening is don't go there. Don't go there. The scripture is coming from Matthew 25, 35 through 43. Matthew 25, 35 through 43. Giving you an opportunity to locate that. Matthew 25, 35 through 43. And if anyone would like to read the scripture, we'll open it up for you to read. Amen. The scripture reads as follows. Well, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. That is a reading from the word of the Lord. Don't go there. Don't go there. The scripture goes on. It says that he goes on to speak of some of the things that these people had done in their lives on earth. Four times. The list he repeats to his followers, it is clearly meant to be remembered as a guide and a practice for his disciples at that time and you and I. We should not understand this in a sense that these works have earned their salvation. Please understand that grace is just as important throughout the gospel as anywhere in the New Testament. Jesus is not saying to these people whose good lives have earned them salvation as their right. But what he's saying is, God has blessed them and brought them into his kingdom. And he goes on to tell them of the evidence that he's seen that they do, in fact, belong in the kingdom. Their lives are evidence that God has been at work in them. Their evidence, the things that they've done. He states, I was hungry. And he said, you gave me food. This was a kind action. It was a kind action that was done, which the world has always provided. Amen? So when we see people who are hungry, what do we think? Are they the lesser? Or do we feel compassion to want to give them food? Do we sense a kind action in our ability to be able to provide for them at that particular time? If you see someone thirsty and you know that there is a need for something to drink, he's saying, do you provide drink? He goes on to say that the stranger is always somewhat in a difficult position. And what he's speaking of, this is happening during the first century Palestine. And during that time, during the first century in Palestine, it lacked facilities. Let me bring it home. Like the hotels in the times that we live in now that can be easily taken for granted. This was their case. Where would a stranger lodge when he came to an unfamiliar place?
the Old Testament, it knows of a man who prepared and spent a night in the town. And if you look in Judges 19 and 15 or Job 31 and 32, it talks about a stranger could not rely on facilities or any place to lodge. If he was not to spend the night in the open air, someone would take him in to their private home. Think about it. This is done in almost a Christian-like attitude or Christian-like act. In Acts 10:23, if you want to look that up and take your notes, you can look that up, and it talks about that. Or in Hebrews 13 and 2, it talks about that. Who looks at it as a duty of hospitality? Do we look at it as being something that is very serious when we see it? There's an author, and his name is Bernard, and he takes the word to mean exile from their own country. Or he uses it as a people without rights and without protection. That is his interpretation of that. These are just people who were in a need. They were kids that needed a kind help or a kind action. And that's what the king now praises. Jesus commends those who welcomed him when he was in a need, or when there was no place for him. And they offered hospitality when he needed it. Jesus commends them for their kind act and their kind deed. There were other ways in which these sheep, and I say sheep, on the right, had helped the Lord. When he was naked, they clothed him. Now, nakedness in the first century Palestine, it indicated poverty, the inability to buy clothes. As we might suppose in modern times, it was considered, they were considered exhibitionists if they were on the corner with no clothes or inability to buy clothes. During the modern times today, some people look at them as exhibitionists. When he was sick, they visited him. Those without medical skill might be able to do a whole lot for the sick. They have the ability to be able to help the sick because of their skill. But during this time, it was meant as a place of punishment. And think about it. They were really considered prisoners. Or as normal human beings would have regarded them as an astonishment to their eyes. It was that kind of act to visit people in prison. A prisoner was a needy person. These people saw that it did not do what Jesus said that you're supposed to do. These were people when they came to him in prison, but the fact is they came as if it was almost astonishing. Most people would avoid prison. But those on the right, they came because they were astonished at the conditions. And they chose to help. They did not look at them like they were a plague. And you get as far away as possible. But that they came to provide. But all of this news to the sheep, and then they say, and they call the righteous of what God has done to them, he's transformed them into a people who was acceptable in his sight. These were people who did good deeds, and all those that Jesus had listed, all those things that Jesus had listed, these were considered, as he said, good people because of their attitude. It will transform people to do the right thing. But they were confused. They were confused. And their confusion is when they go to the court and they ask, when did all of these things, when did all these things happen? When did it happen, Jesus? When did we do this? When did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we do this? Their surprise is not considered unimportant. It clearly shows that their salvation did not depend on their good works. For doing those works, they must have known that what they were doing. They must have known. Clearly, it shows kindness to the needy. And that was enough to gain reward and merit for salvation. It was a part of how they lived, how they lived on their day-to-day basis. Their response to Christ, what they did for him, at that particular time, it was their response, a natural response. They weren't astonished. They weren't in awe. But they chose to do the right thing, do the Christian act, to provide because there was a need. There was a need. And again, there is a warning king. And he answers because with the psalm, he goes on to say, truly I hear you. What follows is really important after this statement, because it says, insofar is that they did the good deed to one of the least. And out of these books, one of my brothers, however, is insignificant. They did it to him, he says, but throughout their earthly life, Jesus is never thought to be in a comfortable position. He's never walked the earth and ever been in a lofty position. He's been despised, he's been rejected by men, and as a prophet, his followers must not forget. It is natural to the human race to seek what is comfortable and be ready to serve only the great. Now, what does that mean? That is saying that it's saying that someone who is on the corner, we may choose to, and I put us all in the same category, we may choose to walk past them because they're in need. They're in dire need. because they are considered exhibitionists. But then if there is one who is of importance, and you know they are of importance, great importance, then what he's saying is that we're quick to help them. We're quick to see them. We're quick to clothe them. You see what I'm doing here? It's our attitude toward our brothers and our sisters. What did those needy ones, what was it that they did to Jesus? It was their attitude. And during this time, he's saying this, and it has become a teaching of Jesus. Everyone in need is to be an object of Christian benevolence. Let me say that again. Everyone in need is to be the object of Christian benevolence. Now, I'm not going to continue on, but I want to get through this before I begin to start to dialogue about where we are and what we're hearing. Jesus goes on to say condemnation of those who have responded to Christ's love and who have lived their way and have been taught to address those in need. He's complimenting those on the right. Well, if there are those on the right, what about those that are on the left? He's saying all the right can come to the kingdom. And he begins his address to the sinners. Who are the sinners? The ones on the left. Well, you may ask, well, how is someone a sinner because they chose not to feed the hungry? Because they chose not to clothe? Because they chose not to. How is that a sin? How is that a sin? And Jesus goes on to say, which is very profound, those on the left, go away from me. And he greets them. And listen to this, he greets them. You cursed ones. You cursed ones. Go away from me. He goes on, and there's an author, his name is Chrysostom, and he says that they're no longer of the Father because he laid the curse upon them and on their works. The nature of the curse is brought out with their destination, where they are to go. They're going to eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And I know you're probably sitting there and listening. You say, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because I chose not to feed someone, because I chose not to visit the sick, Because I chose not to clothe someone that was in need, you're telling me that I'm a sinner? And you're telling me that I am going to into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels? You mean to tell me it was just that bad? Well, he says that the righteous go into the righteous will go into the kingdom prepared for them before the foundation of the world. And those who are rejected, which is those who are on the left, go into the fire prepared not for them, for the devil and his angels. The symbolism of fire is sometimes associated with God. And if you go to Hebrews 12:29, you can look that up. The symbolism of fire is sometimes associated with God or his servants, which is in Hebrews 1:7. But more uncommonly, it is the destination of evil. It is a destination of evil. Can you get a vision of the lake of fire and the brimstone in which the devil was thrown? Together with the beast and the false prophets? Look at Revelation 20:10. If you want to look that up. This was a place where everyone whose name is not written in the book of life will eventually come. Revelation 20:15. In line with this fire of hell, it is often said that the destination of those who do not accept the salvation of God. If you do not accept the salvation of God, if you are not saved, then I'm going to leave it there. Here, the angels is linked with the devil and refers, they are considered Satan's helpers. Now, Scripture tells us little about them. There is no reason to think that Satan, only one thing or one person or place. It used solitary, but it's saying only one thing or in one place. Evil angels, as well as the good ones, angels are included among them, being that they try to separate. Now get this. Being that they try to separate from God. Now remember, we're talking about salvation and those that choose not to accept salvation, those that try to separate from God. Romans 8:38, you can look at that. They were objects of worship, which means that they were opposed to one God. They were against God. You can look in Colossians 2:18 if you want to dig into that further. There are the angels that sin. They were the angels that sinned. Peter talks about that in 2:4. These angels were associated with the dragon, which is equated to the devil. They were equated to the devil. Jesus is now saying to those on his left at judgment, who will find their eternal place where the evil lies. Satan and all those associated with him. Jesus goes on through the list of things that those on the right have done, and we talked about this earlier. But this time, he talks about the negative in each case. When he was hungry, they did nothing for him. So all the items on his list, they did nothing for him. When we look at this picture, we get wrapped up in our own concerns, and we become a little indifferent because of the suffering that was around him. The suffering. Thinking that they're going to heaven, that they're going to be placed in the eternal fire. This is what Jesus is saying more of. He didn't do anything. He just made an analogy of those on his left and those on his right. That's why they were placed where they were. Those on his left were those that chose not to provide for the needy or the lesser. Those on the right had a heart for those that was in need. When he was hungry, they did nothing for him. These people will just be surprised because they were placed in this group. It's not that they were refusing to give food to Jesus. He was hungry. Or he was thirsty. Or if we go through the entire list, Jesus didn't go through the whole list again. He just summarizes the list as we read in the scripture and includes the things of the previous list that they omitted. It included that. And failure to serve the needy was important to Jesus. If you get that planted in your mind, failure to serve the needy was important to Jesus. We notice that condemnation, like that of the foolish girls that talked about in the parable, is expressed. That they're having to do something awful. It was a crime. But in turn, their failure to do what was right is considered a sin. It's a sin of omission. And to Jesus, that is very important. Suffering. Don't go there. But fail the test. Don't fail. Judgment and eternal fire. Don't go there. Don't go there. You don't want to go there. You want to be a people, we want to be a people that's on the right. That's doing the right thing with a Christian act, with a Christian attitude. It's clear that these people were considered the lowly, insignificant, unimportant, and they chose not to do, and because they chose not to help, they failed the test. And that's sheer calamity. That is sheer calamity. Jesus rounds it off by telling his hearers what the eternal destination of each two groups will be. He proceeds with those on the right. And then he goes on talking about the negative, those on the left. They failed the test. Don't go there. Those people did not service the lowly. And Jesus, his punishment was eternal. It was eternal punishment. So to eliminate and remove this curse, to do the right thing for you, I'm going to make comment of a couple of things. As we talk about the modern times, there are people who have much more than they need or live while others have barely enough to survive. Poor people do not have enough clothing, food, education, or health care. Being poor means deprived economically, politically, and socially. They hardly get opportunities. They have inadequate nutrition, higher risk of disease, and lack access of health care and basic essentials for living results. They are in low achievement. Change your perspective. Instead of considering them as a project to help, view them as people to love and respect. And you're probably asking, well, how can I make sure that I don't go there? How can I make sure that I don't do that? Well, I'm going to give you a few things. And number one, as we start off with number one, it says here, and it's the list that I am going to go through quickly. Group involvement, volunteer with teams. Volunteer to help the poor and the needy, creating awareness of people who need help. Donate bologna. Donate bologna. There's always a need. Education. Going out and helping those that are in need of learning. Imparting the knowledge that you have in one way or another to help those get on their feet. Education is the beginning of getting out the hardship of life. Giving freedom education to the poor and the needy. Helping to get jobs. Helping to employ and build careers. Achieve success. Capabilities of handling self-sufficient things in their lives. To help prepare them and have power of education. We can help the poor and the needy develop their skills so that they can take over their efforts and revitalize their life rather than always depending on outsiders to do it for them. Provide nutritious meals to the poor. Have a collection or even participate on a collection drive. Provide nutritious meals for the poor and the needy. Donating groceries can help the hunger and the poor and the needy. Donating food will make their stomachs feel, get their stomachs full, and they will be able to stay healthy rather than wasting food or throwing it away. It is better to give to a needy person. Social media. Become one of the most used ways to help poor and the needy. Social media and social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter, you can raise your voice and create awareness by helping the needy. Buying products online from a website that donate a portion of their proceeds to charity. Another way of helping the poor and the needy. Giving them more support, showing a heartfelt humility and respect makes them aware that someone really does care about them and they're trying to improve their conditions. Providing opportunities to improve their conditions on their own, what it does is it increases their self-awareness and helps them overcome barriers they face every day. Work with the poor and the needy. Help them discover their own capabilities. Putting them to use at the right place at the right time. Support them and let them know that they have value, which can be used to meet their basic needs. change your perspective. Instead of considering them as a project to help, view them as a people to love and respect. I'm going to open up the mics now. I know I've said a mouthful, but I pray that that what was said was heartwarming and heartfelt, that we change our perspectives, the things that we see on a regular basis, the things that we do on a regular basis. It will change our perspective according to those in need. Because if you hear, Jesus saw those who were needy, the lowly. Those are the ones that he's looking for us, you and I, to help. Comments? Any comments?
I think we really have to self-examine ourselves and our actions, the things we say, the things we do, and truly be Christians, because one thing to say I'm a Christian and something else to act contrary to that. If you see someone in need, might be a bum on this, well, it should be maybe an individual. I had to, you know, change that quickly to put out a label that's negative. But you know, you see an individual who is on the corner and is begging, and sometimes we turn our nose up and say, you know, that person can get a job. You don't understand. You may not understand what that person's position is. They may be very sick, and you might be aware of it. What would it take to help that person, or direct them to a church, or to actually buy them some groceries and make a difference in a person's life? Those are the things that Christ did. And Christ is our teacher. He washed the feet of his disciples. And who is greater, the servant or the master? And the master put himself in a position that he actually washed the feet of his disciples. That he was actually teaching them, and he wanted them to go out and do the same. Yeah. Even though they may have felt that you're too great in a great position to actually be washing my feet. And God, and Jesus said, this is the way it's supposed to be. But, you know, taking that same example, when we go out in the community, you may be in line, and someone in front of you in the grocery store, and they can't afford, they're short $10 in the grocery, their children, they'll step back. You have more money than you could ever use. Would it cost you a big deal? Would it be a big deal for you to give you to pay the $10? But to think about our action, our motivation, and our spiritual growth, and it's exercising those skills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a good subject, Elder. And what I see in this and in the verses that you read is that Christ is telling those that are around him and disciples, whoever, is that when you do to anyone, whether it be in the household of faith or those outside of the household of faith, whatever you do, look as you're doing it to me. So that will make us keep in mind that we're not just doing it for that individual. We're doing it for Christ, because that's what he said, you know, when I was hungry, you didn't even feed me. Mm-hmm. So he's telling us to just not look on that individual, but whatever you do to that individual, it affects me too. It affects me because I have love for them. So you should extend that love that I've given you to give to them as well.
Amen.
I'm looking at that. God is saying, yes, we are our brother's keeper. And he's telling us that we should deal, like you gave us a list of things that we can do. We shouldn't just deal with the outward, anything that a man needs. And the man needs wholeness. So God wants us to address the wholeness of man, the whole man, his body, soul, spirit, everything, wherever there's a need. He might need an encouraging word that day. You give him that encouraging word like if you're giving it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, do it. Do it like you're doing it for me, like you're doing it to me when I was in prison. When you go and see that individual in prison, it's like Jesus saying, I came that men would have life and that more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go out and you do that, when you encourage that individual, when you see that individual that needs that encouragement, or visit them in the jailhouse or in the sick house, you're doing it like you're doing it to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to have his heart, and his heart is for the people.
Amen.
So when we have the heart of Christ, we can be Christ-like. We can be just like him, because these are people that have never seen Christ. The only Christ that they'll see is you. So as you are the portal, the carrier of Christ, when you come, he'll give that individual a walk away, or you'll leave them and they'll say, wow, thank you, God. Thank you for sending that oracle. Thank you for sending that oracle to bless my soul. Thank you for sending that messenger with food or whatever. Whatever the man needs, God wants us to do that. And he says, as you do unto one, you do it like you're doing it for me. You're doing it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't even realize, when you said the left and the right, people don't even realize how important these few verses are. They might have even overlooked those verses, how important those verses are. That, you know, depart from me. That's because God said, here, you're not even showing love to someone that you see every day, but yet you say you love me and you've never seen me. So you just depart from me because you're a hypocrite. That's all I'm saying. God, Christ wants us to deal with the whole man of man. Those that are in the household of faith and those that are wild. Because it's not just the person on the corner that's not without. You got people right in your household of faith that are without.
Amen.
And that's why God gives us that spirit of discernment. Because a lot of people aren't going to come to you.
It's true.
But we have to be, the Bible says, watch as well as pray.
Mm-hmm.
So we should watch those that are around us. Mm-hmm. And as Christ speaks to us, we're to address and fill that void, that need, if it be possible. And it's always possible to give an encouraging word or even $5.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And you know what?
But God wants us.
When we do, I believe that when we do that, when we do that, when we provide, when we help others, when we see others and value them, you know, that God values what we do.
Yeah.
He values what we do. And the thing that was an eye-opener when I looked at it is that sometimes we do things, and what's in the back of our mind, how we see that person?
Yeah.
What's in the back of our mind? Come on, let's keep it real now. What's in the back of our mind? Do we see them as lowly? Do we see them as lesser? Do we see them? Or do we value them as another brother and sister,
or ourselves,
right?
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just like what the scripture says, you know. And it's not like everyone is in fault. Well, the prostitute or what? Everyone is in fault. But you know what? The word of God says, look beyond their faults and see their need. Look beyond their situation and see their need. Look beyond the man that has broke down shoes or on the corner has ripped up pants. Look beyond that. Look beyond the smell and see the need. The need to be loved. The need to be encouraged. The need for a handout. That's what Christ, he wants us to be, have the heart of God. Because God, he saw the need that we had, and he sent his only begotten son. so that we would have life. That son came to rescue us. And that's what he's, when he went back to be with the Father and he sent the Holy Spirit, he sent us into the world. We're to be the rescuers now through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
We are to be the rescuers and bring them in.
You know, when you said that, it just brought me, to mind even what, Brother Norm was saying. I remember when I used to, my wife and I, we used to help with the food bank. For years we did that. And that was so refreshing. It was so
fulfilling.
I just felt good. Out of all the things I do, I felt good because these were people coming who were in dire need. And we were here to provide for them. And I think going over this and even listening to the two of you, I was thinking about that. I was just thinking about that. Just something simple like helping to pass out food at a food bank.
Yeah, it does. It makes you feel good.
You can visit the sick in the hospital. Someone who never gets a visit. So little things like that, just really made me think. It just made me think.
And what it is a lot of people these days, they are so in need. They're in need of a breath of fresh air. They're in need. Not just what has happened in Texas, but every day they're in need. And it's up to us. It behooves us to go out. I know I'm convicted to go out more, to share the love of Christ, to share whatever we have. And it might seem like we don't have much, but you know what? That's why my family says sometimes I smile too much or I talk to everybody. But you know what? Sometimes you never know what but that's how I am. You never know what that individual is going through. And that smile or that kind word of hello might brighten their day.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Amen.
This was a good subject, and we just don't want to go there. We don't want to be put to the left and go to hell. And that's why I said those verses about when Jesus said, depart from me. Oh, my God. How many times have we overlooked this? This is deep. Because if we can't have the love of Christ, Corinthians 13, at the bottom of all that he says about that, he talks about love. At the end, he said, the greatest is love. The greatest is love. Yeah.
Amen.
This was good.
That's what it's all about. It's about
it really
love.
Is.
What we do for others, even those who are in need, as was mentioned on the list.
As we're doing it for Christ.
The love of Christ.
Amen.
I do thank you for your comments. I do thank you.
That's good.
And Brother Norm, definitely thank you as well for your comments.
God bless you, sir, Brother Norm.
Amen. I pray that for those of you that's listening by internet, that you received something that was encouraging, inspiring, and to help you continue on your journey. Wherever you are, there's always a need. There's always someone who is in greater need. And
Amen. When
we look to those who are in greater need, then that's what Jesus Christ says, is that's our journey.
Amen.
That's our journey.
Amen.
Amen. So, again, we do thank you. May God bless you. Remember, we love you. May God bless you.
In a crowded room, cornered by I can begin.